I guess I could preach last week's sermon again. Sorry. That's from last week. We're not going backwards. Grab your Bibles. We'll be in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We ended last week in verse 3. It says, "And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure." So John says, because we have this hope, because we have the hope that is in Jesus Christ, because we have a hope that is eternal, because we have a hope that someday we will put off this body and we'll put on a new body, a body that will dwell in eternity with Jesus Christ. Because we have that hope, we then seek to purify ourselves. We seek to be without sin. We seek to be clean. John is now going to go into this thought of being pure, being without sin, living a life that's incompatible with sin. In fact, John is going to make the bold statement here that the genuine believer, the child of God, does not sin. Period. Period. He doesn't leave any room at all. Period. Now understand, as John is going through this, as John is dealing with this thought of sin, he is dealing with a thought of habitual sin. He's dealing with the thought of the one who has given themselves over to pursue sin with their lives. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the one who just desires continually to be involved in sin, really without remorse. May feel bad because of the consequences, but really just wants to continue and do their own thing and do their own selfish thing. That's what John is talking about as he deals with sin here. And so John is going to deal with this thought that a life of sin, the one who's committed to a life of sin, is incompatible with. That's the thought here. And so we're going to go through this and we're going to talk about six things that a life of sin is incompatible with. Now certainly as we think of sin, we use that archery imagery of the thought of the target. And certainly we think of God's holy standard and we think of how God is just and right. And sin, the word sin is an archery term and it does mean to miss the mark, and certainly we miss the mark in our own actions, and we cannot live up to God's standard no matter how hard we try. There's certainly, right, there is that thought, but John is going beyond that. He's going to the one who has decided to set up their own target, and they're shooting at that target. Right? The one who has disregarded God's standard completely in their life, doesn't care what God's standard is going to pursue, going to do what they want to do. And they're spending their life pursuing a different target. That's what John's talking about here. And so in John chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 4 here, we see a life of sin is incompatible with God's law. It's incompatible with God's law. Verse 4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." So certainly as we think of this thought and this command as John has given us to purify ourselves because we have hope and we should desire to live a life that's clean, that's pure, we should have a love for God's law and God's righteousness, to live by God's standard. But as John says here, sin is lawlessness. It's a law unto itself. It is without law. That's the nature. That's what sin is. It is a violation of God's law. It's a violation of God's standard. And so the one who has committed their life to pursue sin, that's what satisfies them. That's what they want. That's what they desire. They are in essence saying, "I'm going to create my own law. I'm going to create my own standard. I'm going to live life the way I want to, the way I think it should be lived. I'm going to live for my own happiness and please myself." So as John says, that life is, that's certainly incompatible with God's righteous law. A life committed to sin, a life of sin, is incompatible with the work of Christ. Verse 5 says, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So John says, we think of Christ. He came, he was born into this world. He was manifested, he was revealed, he was made known, and the purpose was to take away our sin, to deal with our sin, to cleanse us from sin, to eliminate sin. As John says here, in him there's no sin at all. In him, he lived the perfect life. He lived always in submission to the Father in every single moment. He lived the life that we just can't even, it's impossible for us to live. We can't even comprehend what that must be like, to always know the Father's will and always live under that and never in any way stray from that at all. Christ did that for us. And so our life is in place in exchange for his. His life then is, as God looks at us, he sees the life of the life Christ lived, that perfect life. And so John says there, in him is no sin. Our sin was placed on him. He bore the penalty for our sin. He endured the penalty for our sin, but he is righteous. He is just. He is pure. So that's why John says, everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. And so when we place our faith in Christ, we are accepting what he did on our behalf. We are cleansed of sin, and certainly to be pure is to abide. And we talked about that last week, this thought of abiding in Christ and allowing the things of Christ to abide in us and being connected in that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that whole relationship with the Father, all that abiding in him. And as John says here, without sin, without being committed to a life that is just pursuing sin. So a life of sin is certainly incompatible with what Christ has done for us. A life of sin is also incompatible with relationship. And in that thought of relationship is relationship with Christ. Verse 6 says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So again, John gets back to his thought of abide and our relationship with Christ. And so the one who is abiding in Christ is not controlled by sin, is not controlled by habitual sin. It's not one who continues in sin. And as John's saying here, the one who continues in sin cannot have a relationship with Christ. He doesn't have knowledge. He doesn't have understanding of truly what Christ has done for him and the forgiveness he has in Jesus Christ. And so if our life is just pursuing what we want, is just pursuing a life of gratification, and right, if that's what we're pursuing, then truly we can't have a relationship with Christ. We are separated from Christ. He says, if you're abiding in Christ, you're not living in that way. Now, maybe you've noticed that John likes to repeat himself a lot. Right, maybe you've noticed that. And don't worry, he repeats himself a bunch more. And there's many commentators that have noticed and have said, right? We look at John and he talks about one thing, he moves on to the next subject, moves on to the next subject, and then he comes around and it's kind of circular. Right? As far as he just keeps moving from subject to subject, but it keeps coming back, and then he digs into it a little bit deeper. In chapter 1, we saw how John said that, right, God is light. And if we abide in him, we are of the light. But if we're walking in the darkness, which is the same concept that he's talking about right here, if we are living in sin, if we are controlled by sin, then we're liars if we claim to be of the Father, if we claim to be children of God. That's what John is saying. Right? He's saying that. Now he's illustrating it some more. He keeps moving this back around and talking about love and talking about abiding and talking about what it is to be in sin and how that's incompatible with the life of serving Christ. And so he says that right here, the relationship. If we're having a relationship, we're abiding with Christ, right? We're not certainly serving then the flesh. We're not serving sin. A life of sin is also incompatible with then righteousness. Right? It's incompatible with righteousness. Verse 7. says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so John is just saying here, just look, the one who is claiming to be righteous, the one who's claiming to be a child of God, lives righteously. He does what is righteous. That's the habit of their life. That's how they live their life. Now, John said, don't let someone deceive you, because there were false teachers promoting sin within the church. Just as this, right? There's this, we got the same thing going on today. Right? There are certainly false teachers promoting sin. And some of it, well, much of it, was grounded in Greek philosophy, humanistic philosophy. Much of the same thing we see creeping into the church today. Things based on humanistic philosophies. And so the Greeks believed in this thought of a separation between that which is spiritual and that which is physical. So they believed you had a soul and a spirit, and that would, right? And they kind of had this thought that was good. And then there's the physical, what you do in this physical realm, and that was inherently evil and bad. That's how they kind of viewed things. And so there were false teachers that were coming into the church, and they were telling people, hey, look, like spiritually, yeah, you're good. But here, look, whatever you do in the body doesn't matter. Right? Whatever you do, whatever, like if the flesh desires to do this or that, then do it. It's okay. It's all right. Because it's just in the flesh. It doesn't affect the spiritual at all. Right? That's what they believe. They tried to separate the two. And so they were teaching that you could just pursue and you could live however you wanted. And John is putting the kibosh on that in a hurry, saying, no, you can't do that. God has a standard, right? Well, you know what is righteous. And so if you're claiming to be a child of God and you claim to be righteous, then you should be desiring to live righteously. That should be where you're at. And then he puts it really plainly here. If you continue in sin, if you're continuing in unrepentant sin, you are just like the devil. And the word there, devil, means slander. Satan. Right? The one who slandered God. Right? The one who tried to usurp who God is. The devil. So the one that continues in sin, the one who is living in lawlessness, because they've created their own law, they're pursuing their own desires. They have usurped God and his authority in their life. And so John's saying, you're just like Satan. You're one of his children. The devil continued in sin from the beginning. He never repented. Never will. He just continues. Oh, right. That's that. And he has no reason and he has no desire to repent at all. And so we think of Satan, we think of the devil, and his desire is to certainly corrupt God's creation, to turn God's creation in rebellion against God. And I think his hope and his desire is then to usurp God and receive all the praise and worship that's due God and receive it for himself. That's what Satan's desire is. So he certainly is the original sinner. He's the father of lies. He's the original rebel. And he's the one who continues in sin. So a person that continues in sin of the devil. That's what John says here. But then he also says this, into this the Son of God was revealed. Right? Into this the Son of God was revealed. Into this realm of sin. Into this realm of lawlessness. He is destroying, as John says here, he's destroying the works of the devil. So the devil in various ways is trying to destroy and corrupt God's creation, trying to turn humanity in rebellion against God completely. That's his desire. That's what he's focused on, in destroying. But in Christ there's life. In Christ there's freedom. In Christ we are redeemed. We are rescued from that. And so here's the deal. We were all at one point in time in Satan's camp. We read, right? David acknowledged that. I was born into this world in sin. At birth. But he acknowledges, right, that God is certainly gracious and merciful and loving and forgiving. And certainly we understand it's through Jesus Christ that we are cleansed of our sin, that we are redeemed. And so into this Christ came to rescue us out of that. So we no longer have to serve sin. So we no longer have to be in sin, as John is describing it here. In Jesus Christ, he is destroying the works of the devil. What is the work of the devil? To destroy you. And Christ came to rescue you. Christ came to redeem you. Christ came to take that which belonged to Satan and now bring it into the kingdom of light, into God's kingdom. That's what Christ is about. That's what Christ is doing. And so as the truth is revealed, as we understand what Christ has done for us, as we place our faith in him, we are cleansed of our sin. We are redeemed of our sin. We have victory over sin. And so John is saying here, right, look, Christ, yeah, he came into this world to redeem us. We don't have to continue in that. And so the one that would promote that is deceiving you. They don't understand. A life of sin is also incompatible with God's seed. It's incompatible with God's seed. Verse 9. Says, whoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. So now John is invoking the Abrahamic covenant. Right? That's what he's doing here. The thought of seed. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he promised him that his seed would be as the stars of the sky. Of the sand of the seashore. Just speaking of this multitude physically. That would be related to him. That would come from him. A great nation that God would use for his glory. That God would use to bring about salvation for the world. Through Abraham. So certainly physically, but also spiritually as well. There's this thought of seed, of a new birth. And so John is invoking that imagery and saying that who has been born of God has been born of that seed. And Paul makes this great connection between the seed that's promised to Abraham and Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. So a few books to the left. If you get to the Gospels, you went too far. Right before 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes this. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. So Paul makes this connection here, this thought of this, that which was promised to Abraham in the covenant is the seed that spiritually then regenerates us. And right, the new birth. We were born naturally of the seed of our father, our physical father. And so now Paul and John are both using the thought of this seed that is used to then a new birth, that we are a new creation. In Jesus Christ, he is that seed that regenerates us. And so I believe that's at the moment we place our faith in Christ. That is when we are regenerated. That's when we are born again. And so he says, those who have this seed, who have been reborn, regenerated. Back in 1 John, John says, does not sin. Cannot sin. That's what he's saying here. Is born again. You have the spiritual seed. That seed cannot be corrupted. Is not of sin. What is John saying? That person cannot certainly be consumed with sin. They can't be. Because they're a new creation. They're now of Christ. The seed dwells in them. That's now who they are. That is their nature. As I look at this verse, to me I see a very clear statement of eternal security. Right? That you have the seed of Christ. No one can take that from you. That'll never leave. That'll never change. You're born again. You can't be unborn again. Right? That once you've placed your faith in Christ, it's a done deal. Right? It's real. Is there room then for growth? Yes. Is there room then to, as John said in verse 3, to purify ourselves, to develop this relationship with Christ? And are there things in our lives that need to change and we need to be intentional about changing them? For sure. For sure. But as far as our relationship with God, right, we are of the seed of Christ. We have been cleansed of our sin. Can we then pursue a life that is committed to living in sin? Try it. Tell me how that goes for you. I've known people that have, and it didn't go very well for them. Usually either they realized that truly they were not of God, or God took them. Or God took them. Because God will not be mocked. And if someone is truly His child, right, they're His. They're His. So if you're a child of God, you are His. You belong to Him. Nothing will change that. Nothing can change that. And so in that, we should seek and we should desire to live a life that glorifies Him. But if we are pursuing a life that glorifies us, what's the Word of God say? He corrects those who are His. He does. And every once in a while, we get spanked. I know I do. Happens, right? We get corrected. And we're told, if you don't get corrected, right? The writer of Hebrews says, if you're not being corrected, you're in trouble. You're in huge trouble. If God's just letting you live the life that you want to live and the pleasure you want to live without any kind of correction or whatever, you are not His. You do not belong to Him. You need to repent. You need to seek Jesus and ask for forgiveness. But if you belong to Him, right? He is faithful. He is faithful. So again, this isn't about us, but certainly it is about this thought that if we've been regenerated, we have this righteousness that is in us, that is inherent in us, and we will be righteous, period. We will not be living a life that is in pursuit of that which is of Satan, that which is of sin. We won't. And that's what John is just trying to confirm and reaffirm in our lives for us and give us assurance. And then last of all here, a life of sin is incompatible with love. A life of sin is incompatible with love. Verse 10 says, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." So John gives here a distinction. There are two groups. There are those who belong to God, and there are those who belong to the slanderer, to the devil. Right? One or the other. That's it. Two groups. There's no undecided. There's no sitting on the fence. You belong to Christ or you belong to the devil. And so as he says, the difference here is the one who certainly practices righteousness and loves his brother is of God, and the one who doesn't is not of God. It's of Satan. And he says here's this message, to love one another, and we've already talked about that before, and as we sang, right, 1 John 4, 7, and 8, we get to talk about it again. It's this love that we have for each other as the church, as those who have been redeemed and who are cleansed together in the blood of Christ, that this love that we have for each other. And so John uses this great example, the example of Cain, who murdered his brother. Why? Because his works were evil. Because he was an evil man. Because his desire was to do his own thing. His works were evil. They were selfish. They were sinful long before he murdered his brother. And in fact, God confronted him. God was very gracious and merciful with Cain. He came to him and said, "Hey, look, this is what I've asked of you. And you have not done it. Repent. Repent." And he refused. He refused. He continued to do it. And try to come to God his own way, his own law in sin. And so he was jealous, certainly, of his brother. His brother was righteous and humble and obedient and loving. And so we see Cain here then was, he murdered his brother. That was his nature. And so certainly as we look at this, this thought of we cannot be in sin and living a life that's controlled by sin and love at the same time. It just doesn't work. The one who is consumed with sin cannot love. The one who is only focused on self and gratifying the flesh cannot love. Cannot love as God has asked us to love each other. We'll talk about that more next week, because John's now going into this example of Christ and sacrificial love and what that means to love each other. And we'll deal with that next week. But certainly we see this encouragement here, the encouragement to the child of God that, right, you cannot sin. It doesn't mean you won't. Right? It doesn't mean you won't. But it means you're not going to live a life that's controlled by sin, that's given over to sin just continually, without any kind of repentance, without any kind of remorse, without, right, any of that. Do we sin? Yeah. Is John saying here that we have to live a perfect life? No, he's not saying that at all. But he's saying if someone is claiming to be a child of God, and yet their life is just given over to sin, they're a liar. Right? They're not of God. Because a child of God does not sin in that way. Now I think of the example of David. Who also murdered, committed adultery, murdered Bathsheba's husband in order to cover up his sin. And I compare that with Cain, right? Cain was a murderer, murdered his brother. David was a murderer. But when David was confronted with his sin, Psalm 51, right? He confessed his sin. Right, he was broken. He was humiliated. There was grief there. There was confession. There was repentance. He didn't make excuses. He didn't blame Bathsheba. She just wasn't so beautiful. Right? No. He's like, this is my fault. I did this. He was broken over his sin. David was called a man after God's own heart. And so this morning I ask you, how do you deal with sin? When we do sin, what does that look like? Are you broken? Are you grieved? Do you confess? Do you repent? Or just continue about your merry way? John's saying the one who's confronted with their sin and just continues in that, it's not of God. Can't be. And so certainly there is this encouragement that when we have Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. That's who we are. That's our nature. We don't have to prove ourselves. Right? John's not saying here that we need to try to prove ourselves to everyone else and we need to prove how righteous. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you are righteous, you will be righteous. And we are righteous because we've been cleansed of our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Abide in him. Abide in him. That's what John is encouraging us to do. But certainly there is a rebuke to the one who would continually pursue sin. He's saying it's incompatible. If you're claiming to be a child of God, that can't be your life. That can't be your identity. That can't be who you are. And I would encourage you, stop making excuses. And repent. Seek the Lord. Right? He is faithful to forgive us. John's already talked about that. If we do sin, he's faithful. If we come and repent and we ask for forgiveness, he is faithful to forgive us. I've heard people make confession, and I use quotes like that, because supposedly they were confessing sin, but all they did was make excuses. That's not confession. That's not repentance. Repentance is when we accept responsibility, saying, this is my sin. It's no one else's fault. It's not my spouse's fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's my fault. I have chosen to do these things. Oh Lord, forgive me. So maybe this morning you're questioning your salvation. John is, right, is black and white. He says here, if you're a child of God, you do not sin. And maybe this morning you're looking at your life and you're like, well, John, help, right? And certainly that's where we need to be. That's a good sign. It's a good sign. Because here's the thing, the one who is consumed, the one who is given over to sin, doesn't care about repentance, doesn't care about salvation. They only care about what people think of them. That's all they care about. And so I would encourage you this morning, if you're struggling, if there's sin, if there's something you're like, yeah, I'm really struggling with this or that, confess it. Seek forgiveness. And place your faith in Jesus Christ. John's not preaching works here. He's not preaching that you need to live up to the standard and you're not able to live up to that standard, so, oh no. Right? No. He's saying you have the seed of Jesus Christ. Christ came into this world to defeat sin in your life, to destroy the works of Satan in your life. Live it. Live it. Pursue that which is righteous. Pursue that which is clean and right, that you know is right in the sight of your God and your Savior. And so John is saying, don't be deceived. You cannot please God and continue in sin. And so certainly we need to keep short accounts. We need to be continually certainly evaluating our lives, allowing the Word of God to reflect into our lives and reveal that which needs to be confessed and reveal that which needs to be changed and having an attitude of, Lord, help me and cleanse me and help me seek these things and change me. Here's the thing, the moment we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God does not ask us to live this out perfectly, right? If he did, I think we'd all just walk away completely just overwhelmed. But it's bit by bit, right? The Holy Spirit reveals things to us bit by bit. Work on this thing. And as we work on that thing, great. And then he reveals the next thing. Hey, it's progressive. That's how it works. We grow. It's sanctification. And so everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And so we understand that for this purpose, Jesus came, right? He came to take away our sin and to destroy the work of the devil and his work in our lives, right? That we might be pure, that we would be clean. And so do we seek that? Is that what we're desiring? I can't answer that for you. But truly the one who is righteous, the one who is a child of God, seeks to know God, seeks to abide in Jesus Christ, seeks and desires certainly to be clean. And in that moment when we fail, in those moments where we do sin, we are humbled. We are grieved. We fall on our faces before our Savior seeking his forgiveness. And then by faith, we get back up and we continue. Because our faith is not in our ability to be righteous. Our faith is in Jesus Christ who is righteous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your righteousness. We thank you for the new nature. We thank you that we've been cleansed of our sin. And that you've given us the ability, you've given us the power to live a life that glorifies you. Even in these sinful bodies, you have given us victory. You've given us power to not be controlled by our sin anymore. To not be controlled by the sin nature, but to live and desire you. Oh Lord, help us to be intentional about the things that we take in, the things that we desire, the things that we pursue with our lives. May they be things that glorify you. May they be things that you would that would build up spiritually our life with you. And so, Lord, we just come grateful that you are righteous and you have made us righteous. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to have communion, which is a great, great reminder of who Jesus Christ is. But before we do that, we're going to sing our next song. So just as we prepare our hearts to partake of communion, let's stand together.